Yeah, welcome to the first episode of the Super Byron Podcast. I am Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by Garrett Kerber, Tim Richards, and Sebastian Zimmerman. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, I guess we all could be doing a little bit better, given...
Yeah, comparatively.
Yeah, exactly, given the recent results. But, you know, let's just go ahead and dive right in. Bayern are on the back of four consecutive disappointing results. We'll go ahead and start with yesterday, since it's the most recent right on our mind. Bayern lost at home at the Allianz Arena 3-0 to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Sebastian, you can correct me if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but Alisson Plea opened the scoring in the 10th minute with a pretty good shot. Manuel Neuer maybe could have saved that, but Lars Stindl doubled the misery in the 16th, and Patrick Ehrmann capped it all off in the 88th minute. Bayern go down 3-0. Thoughts?
So, do you want me to correct you?
You should. Please do.
I would pronounce it Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I guess
we could just call
it's
them
not
BMG.
So
easy.
BMG, yeah. Or Gladbach is what I always stick with.
Mm. Yeah, the American, the Gladbach is probably the safest route, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's basically fine. It's a way to pronounce it that everybody should understand. I mean it's not terrible or something. Yeah. CH after
football team, isn't that what Celtic called them? A German football team.
Yeah, some German team.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, either way, some German team downed the German champions 3-0.
Yeah.
Bayern just looked far from, you know, their best, far from anything near their best. What do you think? What really stood out to you in the match? Sebastian, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think my biggest problem was that I think I didn't have a clear idea how they were going to win this match. There was no clear match plan for me. I don't think they really knew where they were going to go with this. We can see that, for example, with James. He played on the wing this time, and then with Kovac was very quick to bring an actual winger to the position after halftime. So, yeah, I mean that's really what's confusing me right now. Either they should go with two actual wingers, or they should look for a different plan, or whatever. Just find a way and stick with it. Have the balls and just, yeah, go with it, and yeah, no, don't change it all the time. I mean that's not mir san mir. Mir san mir, that means, yeah, we're going to do what we're going to do and then deal with it. But that's not what they are doing right now.
Yeah, you mentioned you brought up the rotation policy and how Niko Kovac he's come in and it's very, you know, anti mir san mir. He's been very adamant. You know, this player may be playing one game and he may have the game of his life, but he's going to be sitting out the next match. And it really just doesn't make sense when you want to look at building up form and growing some sort of team cohesiveness, especially under a new coach, to be making these subs each game, you know, one after the other. Gary, any thoughts on the match? What stood out to you?
I think what Sebastian said about it, it was hard to see what they were trying to do even. There wasn't really much flow from the back to the front. It seemed like they were just kind of throwing out whatever. I can't even describe it. It just seemed very lackadaisical, very just no plan. And I think that, like you said, with the rotation, it's one of those things where I like the idea of it. I like the idea of keeping mm-hmm. people fresh, keeping people with figuring out how to play with different lineups. But yeah, I mean, if you get you're gonna take people out regardless of how they're playing. You're gonna throw them into positions that maybe aren't their best, and you're just gonna get hammered sometimes, I guess. And I think we talked about it a little bit during the match, but I think it's a lot of just growing pains. I really do. I think that as the season progresses, it'll kind of sort itself out. Maybe it, maybe not. Maybe they won't have enough time. But right now, I think we're just it's just the hardest part of the growing pains. And we'll see what happens, I guess. But
yeah, you mentioned growing pains, and I would agree with you completely there. I think a lot of the problems that are going on right now are just kind of natural. I mean, Bayern have been spoiled for choice over the past decade or so when it comes to managers and stuff. And we're, you know, as fans, we're not really used to having a bad start. You know, when I say bad, Niko Kovac had 7 wins in a row. But we're already seeing on Twitter, on Reddit, on other, you know, social media outlets that people are calling for Kovac out. I want to turn to Tim real quick, because Tim, who you can catch on Bavarian Tweets, by the way, has always been a big proponent for Niko Kovac. So how are you dealing with all these Kovac out calls?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the shout out to the Twitter account. It means that I don't have to do it myself. I think Garrett is correct. These are growing pains. I think we're very fortunate to have 7, in my mind, 7 very good wins in a row against teams that had kind of been thought to be, you know, quite tough challenges. So Hoffenheim, they're in Europe this season, so they're obviously doing well. Leverkusen are in the process of kind of building something quite substantial. They've managed to keep Julian Brandt on. They've kept key players. They've also added key players. Schalke, in theory, should have been performing way better than they actually have been. So I think if you look at the last 4 games, Gladbach, Ajax, Berlin, Augsburg, you can think, yeah, okay, those are 4 objectively terrible results, and Bayern should do better. But I think looking at it from like a relative scale, these are 4 results out of, 11, 12 games that had actually had several quite high moments. So having been at the stadium, seeing players like link up really well with each other, I don't want to get ahead of myself by saying it was reminiscent to what life was like under Pep Guardiola, but there was an element of all of the players worked very well with each other, and they had this great understanding. I don't know what happened over the last month or so, but that just seems to have disappeared, whether it's people started at such a high level that they couldn't maintain it, which I think has been evident in the last 2 games. Like the first 10 minutes against Ajax, you thought Bayern are going to win this like 50-0. Like this was ridiculous. It was just attack, attack, attack. All right, 50 might be a bit much, but you think this is going to be a high-scoring game. Yeah, just a little bit of hyperbole. And the same with Gladbach. It was a very strong start. Okay, the goal went in, but it was otherwise a very strong start. And then it just completely disappeared. Quite similar to how the entire season's gone so far. I think that Kovac is good enough to stay. I think he's, I wrote a while ago, I think he's doing the best that he can considering this is not his squad. He's been put into a position that most caretaker managers are in. He's not had the chance to bring in players. Everybody that is new to this team, so Serge Gnabry, he was on loan. Okay, he's never played at Bayern before, but he was on loan and bought in. Goretzka was announced in January. Kovac was announced in April, I think. I think he's doing fine, considering the level of experience that he has. I think he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But there is obviously quite a high expectation that comes with this job, so pretty well isn't good enough.
Right, and one thing that really bothers me is that people like to, especially on Twitter, say, you know, Carlo Ancelotti had better results at this time last year and he still got the sack. Or, you know, if not slightly better, than about the same results. And they tend to, I guess, forget the fact that Ancelotti had a whole year prior to that, whole season and 2 summers before that to, you know, essentially bring in the players he wants. We know Ancelotti was entirely responsible for bringing in James Rodriguez. And like you brought up, Kovac didn't, you know, it's like he was brought in as manager and the board said, you know, too bad, you don't get anybody you want.
If anything, you have to get rid of players.
Exactly.
Well, not only that, then you lose Kingsley Coman to injury real early.
Yeah.
And you lose Tolisso so early. And you come into a situation where Lewandowski wants to leave, and now he doesn't, quote unquote, doesn't want to leave. But then you have Boateng wants to leave, and there was rumors about Thiago wanting out. There was rumor. I mean, it was just one thing after another, and I feel like, especially for a big club like Bayern, you're going to. Anytime you lose more than one game in a row, and it's not to Real Madrid or to Barcelona, people panic. And I mean, you remember how far back were we last year to
Borussia Dortmund? 5 points, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it started out kind of a similar vein, and it's not. I don't know. Like you said, Ancelotti had a full year with these players before his run of bad results. Kovac is not working with the players that he had intended or he wanted, and I really think that the injuries to really key young players have really played a major role in the way that. They don't really seem to have an identity at this point, and it's really showing on the pitch right now.
I think workload as well. So this month has been hellish, and if you don't have they were complaining, the squad is too big, and now the squad is too small. I think having so many matches so soon after the other, where you have a break of 3 days, that's not enough time. It's good for us because it means that we can watch more football. But for the actual players, when it's their job, it is physically demanding. Okay, they're professional footballers; they should be able to compete at the highest standard. But even so, there has to be a limit. So you have a number of fans that are saying, "Why is he rotating so much? Like, why can't he just find a team and stick with it?" If we go back last year, or like even towards the middle of the season before. When we had a similar amount of games with people saying, why doesn't Carlo Ancelotti rotate? There doesn't seem to be any happy medium here. Like, we want rotation, but we want our favourite players to play. Like, rotate the team, but make sure Hammers plays. Rotate the team, but make sure Lewandowski plays every game. Like, everybody needs to play. I don't know. I think there's no way of getting everybody happy. I think, like, the fans and the players... they're professionals, so they need to understand you need to work throughout the week and be hard working in training so that you can play as many games as you can. That's just my opinion anyway.
And I think that's one of the things that was kind of a problem with Ancelotti, right? Was the fact that it seemed like the players were kind of running the show and they didn't really feel like they needed to work that hard because in practices, wasn't it one of his assistant coaches, like his health and training coach was smoking on the pitch,
right,
and
yeah.
Like always. So I mean, like I think that we were a little spoiled with Jupp and before Ancelotti with Guardiola, you have guys that kind of know how to make things work with these players, and as I said before, when you have players that kind of want it out during the summer anyway, and then you get them in season, they can't move now, and now you're rotating. You're asking for a little bit of trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think we're all in pretty much in agreement that. Kovac at least isn't fully to blame for what I won't call a crisis, but the disappointing results recently. But if it's not Kovac's fault, where do we turn for the blame?
So in the previous match against Gladbach, I think the biggest thing that I noticed was all three goals came off of pretty major defensive errors, right? So the first goal play was a pretty good pretty good shot that Neuer may or may not have been able to save. But it, I mean, I was pretty impressed with the accuracy of that shot. But it's the
sort of shot that like he would have been able to get it if it wasn't perfect. Like right, I think right, we can all trust Neuer to get that. So if he couldn't get it, there's obviously nothing that he could have done.
Right. And then, but then that second one, Thiago made a terrible error. And then the third one, everybody just stood.
They had three players in the box. Like, how? Yeah.
Herman was just, I mean, he had time to set it down, tie his boots, stand up, do some stretches, and then put it in the back of the net. I mean, what I feel like that's been the issue during these last few matches anyway, is that just defensively just cannot get out of our own way.
I guess we need to tackle the question if this is if we do believe in these rumors that there are things going wrong behind the scenes between the players and with Kovac and so on. I think that's a huge question here. I mean, do we believe that it's just bad play on the field, or is there something more to it? I guess that's a very important question here, and I'm not quite sure myself. I haven't quite made up my mind on that one. Maybe one of you has a more fixed opinion on that.
Yeah, so I would compare it to, if you look at around the same time last year when things really started to get bad with Ancelotti and leading up to his sacking, you had guys like Robert Lewandowski coming out after the match saying, you know, kind of hinting that things aren't really going okay. I think at one point even Thomas Müller came out and was talking about how, you know, they weren't completely satisfied. I remember I wrote an article at that point talking about, like, you know, with a silly title basically, but, you know, are we looking at the return of FC Hollywood? All this stuff's coming out. But to look at what's happening now, all the players are coming out and saying, you know, we're making chances, we're doing this, and we're just not finishing them. Not a single person has, as far as I've seen, said anything publicly negative about Kovac. Now you see James Rodriguez, according to Christian Falk, is extremely unhappy with his situation. And people, you know, within the past week, Mats Hummels was reported to be really unhappy with his situation. And I found that to be a little ridiculous, because I think that report came out like a day or two after Hummels publicly was saying, you know, I have to accept the rotation policies. Like, it doesn't look good if I'm complaining all the time and, you know, Sula and Boateng are going to see that. And, you know, how does that make them feel? So I would say if there's a dressing room rift, so to speak, that they're doing a pretty good job of hiding it. That's just my thoughts.
I mean, to kind of play devil's advocate here, I mean, when we saw James's shot in the, I don't know, it was, I think it was the second half, wasn't it? Where he is taking the ball and Gnabry is behind him and he thinks he's in the better position to score. And that looked like there really is an issue, at least with James, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's the Ajax match when he had a foul called on him that it wasn't a foul. It was a poor call from the ref. And he took the ball and just punted it. Last season, you watch James, he's this kind of a mild-mannered, smiling type of guy. Mm-hmm. So it's really strange that, you know, one little foul call like that makes him, you know, burst into anger like that. So if there is something going on, I think that the reports of him being unhappy, I would definitely believe those. But if we're talking a big rift, so to say, I'm not so sure.
Well, you got to remember that James also, you know, he missed out on the latter part of the World Cup with an injury, right? And so now, you know, as he's just starting to feel like he's getting back into things, he gets an injury and then comes back, you know, and people are talking up about how, oh, this is the year James puts it all together. Real Madrid wants him back, all these things. And now he's kind of stuck in this rotation. It's understandable that it would be frustrating. And I think that it just kind of boils over. I don't think that there can be, I don't know, you see a couple of players kind of walking around at times that seem a little bit suspect, but I don't know. I try to stay away from the conspiracy theories too much, especially because the media loves those sorts of things, and so who knows? But yeah, I would say that largely it's mostly not finishing chances, and I think the defense is getting in their own way a little bit. It's the biggest reason for this run of poor form.
Do we put any of this on the board? You saw this summer we brought in Leon Goretzka for free, and then our other new quote unquote signings are Renato Sanchez and Serge Gnabry, which, if you ask Yuli Honus, are apparently brand new signings. But other than that, we've got.
If you ask Arsene Wenger, they'd also be new signings as well.
Yeah, but other than that, we've got Alphonso Davies joining. You know, he's 17 years old, joining in the winter. That's exciting, but not exactly a blockbuster deal. No real big moves over the summer. We've extended Arjen Robben and Franck Ribéry for another year. No real rejuvenation like we expected to see. We've sold several players, but not many big names have been brought in. Maybe there is a lack of foresight from the board. Maybe there is no real plan. Maybe they haven't given full reins necessarily to Niko Kovac, not really letting him make this his squad. But what do y'all think? Is the board to blame here, at least, partially?
I think they are, yeah. I was thinking the whole time that they had some kind of plan how to go about this. But for me, it looks like they really didn't. I mean, I think they should have changed one or two things at least. I mean, okay, maybe it's all right to go into the season with just a couple of defenders on the left side and on the right side. Maybe that can work out, but you need a plan for that. I mean, if you say, all right, if Rafinha is hurt, all right, then we play with three guys in the back. Okay, that can work, but that's not what they are doing. I thought that was maybe could have been the plan. Maybe they were talking to Niko Kovac and he said, hey, I like three guys in the back. That can work. I like that. If it comes to that, we'll do that. But they are not doing that. So that's really confusing, because I always thought there is this plan. There is this plan. They have talked to each other a lot, and they know what they're going to do if two or three or four players get hurt early. But no,
I mean, just think about two. I kind of had the same thought where it's well, the world football is kind of going towards, the teams with the most money and putting the most money down, those are the type of teams that are going to win. And I think that there's starting to be a little bit of pushback against that. And so I'm sitting here in the summer thinking, okay, they're thinking that they actually have some younger players that they like and they think are ready to step up. And it doesn't seem like that's even remotely the case, that they're gonna bring anybody up to fill those depth positions. And yeah, so that is concerning.
Definitely.
Sebastian, you said something interesting talking about the lack of depth, specifically at fullback, and how that's okay if we're going to play three at the back or something. And if you look at Bayern's squad, there's two main areas that stand out that are really, we're short of depth. And first is the winger department. We have four, but you can't hardly count on all of them to be fit at the same time, as we've seen. And then when you look at the fullbacks, we have three. And with pretty much every, modern football formation, you're either playing with wing backs or with wingers. They're two very important positions, and we're not really reinforced in either position.
They even sold Bernard very late for not that much money, actually,
to a team that has a lot of money.
Yeah,
I know you can't say, okay, we'll sell you Bernat for 400 million euros. Like, obviously, you can't do that. But to sell him, what was it, like 14 million?
Yeah,
something like that. Not,
as if that isn't much money at all. Like, I would gladly take 14 million for anything. But if you know that the people buying this player have more money. Like, why don't you just hold out for more?
Right, and the most...
Yeah, well, just keep him. Yeah. Why not keep him if you're so short on players? I mean...
Yeah, the most baffling thing for me is, you know, Bernat was never amazing at Bayern, but he seems like the perfect player as a left wing back. Get rid of his defensive duties. Let him go forward, because he can dribble the ball extremely well. His close control is fantastic. He's got a decent cross. He's pretty good going forward. Play a three at the back and put him out wide. And, looking at Kovac's history at Frankfurt and the formations, the 3-4-1-2, 3-1-4-2, all those that he used there, Bernat really looked like a player who, if he wasn't going to surpass Alaba in the starting 11, he'd at least be, a great backup option to play wide or, to go wide left if Alaba wants to drop back into the back three. That was very, very confusing.
I mean, he can even play an actual winger. I mean, he did that at times, and I think it went okay. I mean, much better just having four. Yeah, I mean, it's still much better than having nobody.
Better than nothing. I mean, Leon Goretzka as left back.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's the third guy. Then you have to count on at least one of the guys to be hurt out of those four wingers. I mean, I mean, most of them are really prone to get injured. So, yeah, that's really frustrating. And I mean, what went through my mind at the beginning of this season was, okay, maybe they're going to, not play on the wings as much. Maybe go through the center a bit more. Maybe that's the outlook. That's what they are going to try to do at least, somewhere down the line in this season. But no, we don't see anything of that. Yeah,
we kind of saw elements of it really early on. I think all of the goals against Hoffenheim came from going through the middle. And like the goal against Benfica, okay, it started off with a pass from Robin out wide, but then you had Sanchez running as through the middle as possible. So like, it's obviously doable, but it just seems there was a quote from Hummels earlier today where he said, we just seem to kind of instinctively go back to what we were doing last season, which like you can't blame him. Like you have to go on instinct at times. So again, that kind of goes back to the idea of giving Kovac more time.
Go ahead.
So I've got here, like over the past 4 or 5 years, we've sold players that we then definitely needed later on in the season. So in 15-16, I think, we sold Dante and then everybody got injured. And so we played Alaba and Kimmich at centre back. We even got the Bayern legend Serdar Tasci out on loan
for two games.
He did all right, actually. His first game was pretty terrible, but then he kind of came around and it was all right. The season after, we sold Mehdi Benatia, who I genuinely thought was a really good player. Okay, he was very injury prone, but when called upon, he did a pretty good job.
If I could add in real quick, Mehdi Benatia, who has been excellent since going to Juventus.
He is a very gifted player. So we sold him, and then against Real Madrid we had to play a very tired Boateng and a very tired Mats Hummels. There are like a few other reasons why that game didn't go as to plan as it should have done. This season, he was out on loan last season with the obligation to buy. We sold Douglas Costa. Say what you want about him as a person and like how he behaves on the pitch. As a player, when he first showed up at Bayern, he was unstoppable.
And another player who has been sensational since joining Juventus. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And so we could rip with Koeman injured. Maybe we could do with him. And again in the same season, we've sold Bernat and Rafinha, and now Alaba injured. Okay, Alaba's injuries kind of come at the best possible time, if there is such a best possible time, just before the international break, where if he didn't get injured yesterday, he would have got injured on the international break, because that's how life works. But like the one option that you had for left back, you've sold him for pennies, really. So there just seems to be this really awful pattern where you sell a player that is deemed not fit enough to be a part of the club, while keeping players who have been quite vocal about not wanting to be part of the club.
And of all times, what better time to go with that three in the back?
Yeah.
What better time to do that than right now when, you know, things aren't going so well anyway? You got injuries, you know, both are at the fullback position. And yeah, you're just struggling. And the guys that you keep rotating and it's making, you know, causing some issues with Boateng and Hummels, hey, play them all. Play all three of them. And then just move everybody up.
Yeah.
Seems like easy solution.
And, you know, I was just about to mention that, but even drop Javi Martinez, give him some minutes, play him at center back. But yeah, I was just about to ask you guys, you know, coming back, we've got this, you know, 2-week international break coming up. Kovac has all this time to, you know, kind of step back. The media is going to be saying whatever they say, but avoid them, get his squad, and kind of rethink everything. And like Garrett said, I think now, you know, at least I would think, is the perfect time to come back and try this three at the back with the wing backs. Looking at the personnel that we have, you know, put Kimmich out wide right. Doesn't have to do the defensive duties that everyone criticizes him for, if they can criticize him for anything. Let him, you know, go forward, put in those crosses. But, you know, another thing that lets us play through the middle, like Sebastian was talking about earlier. But yeah, what do you guys think? You know, should Kovac, would you agree, go to that three at the back? And, you know, do you think he will go to that three at the back?
I don't feel like he will. I mean, the most important thing for me is I think Kovac needs to make up his mind. I mean, I'm fine with going with three at the back. I'm fine with the old four. But I think he really needs to make up his mind about what he's going to do on the field in the future from here on out, basically. Because while he has been very focused on keeping those two wingers, keeping the four at the back, he has made changes all the time that I didn't really understand. He has played very different people on the DM position. He has played James all over the place, basically, Goretzka all over the place, Gnabry all over the place. And I think that's really unhelpful. I mean, James is one of those examples. I think James would be much better if he had his position in this squad, where he knows how things are going to go and what his role is, basically. I think that could really help if you're in a situation like James is in right now. So yeah, I think I would like the idea. I would like him to go with the three at the back, but yeah, if he doesn't, I would also be fine with it as long as he makes up his mind how he's going to play football from here on out.
With going back to the board situation, you almost get the sense that his mind has kind of been made up for him, coming into the squad.
Maybe, yeah.
With, you know, so much control that Honus and Rummenigge have. We were talking about this, I think, during the game yesterday in the chat, asking the question, you know, does Kovac actually have, you know, full power to choose his formation, to choose his playing style? Or is there, you know, some pressure, whether directly or inadvertently, from his higher-ups to say, you know, we want to stick with Mia San Mia the Bayern way, and the Bayern way is not to go to that three at the back?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kovac is a young manager. He's managed Salzburg, then Frankfurt, and then Bayern. That's quite a, like, with all due
and
respect
Croatia
to the other
at
teams.
Some point, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the national team manager of Croatia, or the manager of the national team for Croatia. So he's got the experience, but I think that's kind of unfair of me to say, because, you know, managing Croatia at the World Cup, that's quite a big deal. Like we've seen this year, that's a team that can do quite well. But I think in terms of club football, which is obviously where he's going to be for a while now, he is still quite young, or at least not young, but certainly inexperienced when it comes to managing a team that has to juggle several competitions at the same time. when you compare that to Guardiola, who came in and played three at the back and said, I want to play whatever football I want, he obviously has more clout and can say, this is what I will do. And they kind of have to be like, all right, cool, get the results. So I don't know. I think if Kovac had come in 5 years' time, having done whatever it was that he wanted to do at Frankfurt, because I think he would have stayed at Frankfurt. You know, you don't get to two cup finals in a row for, again, all due respect to Frankfurt, with a fairly mid-table yo-yo club like Frankfurt. I don't think you get to two finals in a row and it just be a complete fluke. All right, they had to work hard and quite dirty at times, but he's obviously got something to offer. And I think he's going to get better and better and better. Maybe he's at Bayern a little bit too early. Maybe in 5 or 6 years from now, if he was to arrive at Bayern for the first time and say, I want to do this my way, then the board will say, sure, here is 100 million euros. Go and do whatever you want. Bring in Ante Rebic. Bring in other players. I don't know. I think he's currently at a position where he can't demand exactly what it is that he wants, which is a shame, because as the manager, he should be able to do that.
Rebic would be awesome right now.
Go ahead.
Rebic would be awesome right now, with as far as, you know, just needing that extra bit of finishing ability, and one of you guys can maybe speak to this a little bit too. But I mean, having had experience at Bayern, so Kovac comes in, he's been at Bayern, he knows how Bayern operates. He's not been at a club anything like Bayern. So, you know, Croatia, big, big, big deal. I mean, he's had some valuable experience, but yeah, I don't know that even if he wanted to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what the board tells me, I don't know that even crosses his mind at this point. He knows how things work at Bayern, and I think he probably got the job in part because he wasn't going to challenge that. And so that's, I don't know. I think that he's fighting an uphill battle from the moment he signed, put pen to paper. And I think it's just going to continue that way until he grows a pair and says, Hey, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging.
I think you make a really good point about him just kind of, you know, not being that manager that's going to come in and change things. Because we saw, you know, Uli Hoeneß even said this the other day, that he knew what he was getting into when he took this job. You know, he's sticking his neck out. He knew what it takes to be Bayern manager, which for him may be that he doesn't have the control that he might would like to have. And I would say, you know, at least from the outside looking in, it looks like he's handling that quite well. He knew what he was getting into. He's always remained very professional. But, you know, yeah, I think you do. I think you make a very good point there.
I mean, he surely could have gotten some players he wanted if he had at least asked. I mean, or do you guys imagine if he had said, okay, let's get Rebic, for example. Do we really think the board would have said, nope, no chance, nope. We're not going to do that. I mean, at least they have to get him one player of a reasonable price tag. I mean, that would have been possible, wouldn't it? I mean, the real question for me is it true what, I don't know who wrote this, but people have been saying that he's really been making a point of not demanding anything, so he's got more leverage in the future. I don't really know if that's true, but yeah, I mean, what's behind that? Do we really imagine? Did he ask for something? Basically, that's the question. Did he ask for something? Did he not get it? Was it impossible? Did they say no from the get go? I don't know. That's really important question for me.
I wouldn't imagine that. At least if he is holding out because he doesn't want to use his leverage early, I don't think that's his best tactic, especially at a club like Bayern. So I don't, you know, I know that if someone, you know, I don't know where that came from either, but I wouldn't imagine that's the case. He seems a little bit smarter than that. But yeah, I don't think that's what the case is.
There were rumors. I think they were kind of like, I think they were fairly predictable rumors and had no real base to them of Rebic going to Bayern in the summer. Croatian player, played under new Bayern coach, has a good-ish World Cup. Obviously, he's going to go to Bayern now. Like, I think it was just something.
I mean, that's just an example, of course.
Yeah, I think it was just X plus Y equals Z. Like, there was nothing to it that actually had any substance. I personally would really, really like to see maybe not Ante Rebic, but somebody that plays like him at Bayern. Like, he's just someone that's just going to fight, that's just going to show up and cause chaos. Someone like, I guess exactly like Ivica Olic, who showed up and was just prepared to kill whoever was in his way. But he was an absolute machine. He wasn't the best player, but I think the fact that he knew that really worked in his favor.
I think that's kind of what Matthias Sammer said today. He said, wir müssen die Drecksarbeit machen, which basically means we need to do the dirty work. We need those guys to really get their hands dirty. And
yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it really doesn't seem like many players want to do that by virtue of the fact that you can have, six players in the box having to mark three Gladbach players in the box and not one person decides to make a tackle. Worst case scenario, you give away a penalty. Fine, you're losing the match anyway. Just at least make some effort. This is something I noticed in the Ajax game, where Thiago, you can kind of tell really early on what sort of game he's going to play from like the first like four or five passes he makes. Because if all four or five passes come off, he's going to control it. He's going to be in complete control and he's going to have a great time and people are going to be like, wow, Barcelona got robbed. What a great day this is to be a Bayern fan. If something goes wrong in the first 5 minutes of a game for Thiago, that really just kind of sets the tone. And for against Ajax, he gave the ball away so many times. He instantly tried to fight to win it back, and I really have to commend him for that. I think it's good that he didn't just pass it away and think, well, hope this doesn't end in a goal. Okay, thank goodness for that. All right, let's carry on. Like, he gave it away and then instantly ran to challenge for it, which is great, but at the same time, he shouldn't have put himself in the position where he had done that. And I think that was the cause for the second goal yesterday. It's this, and I'm not saying that this comes exclusively from Thiago. I think there are a number of players in the squad that are victims of this. There seems to be an arrogance with many Bayern players at the moment where they think, we're Bayern, obviously we're going to win this game. Like, no matter what happened in the Augsburg game or the Berlin game or the Ajax game, we're Bayern, obviously we're going to win. And then you go down 1-0 after 10 minutes and you think, okay, right, these people have come to play. And we saw that a lot last year as well. Teams ran Bayern down very early on and we conceded after about 5 minutes, like several times last season. In my mind, there seems to be an arrogance of players thinking that they can just kind of go on autopilot and they don't have to think. That's how it
is. But it's not just arrogance, is it? I mean, Mia San Mia is also arrogant, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but it's this kind of arrogance that evaporates immediately. We had that, I think that was also under Ancelotti a big problem, where you go into the match, you're very arrogant, you think I'm going to win this today, but the other guys do something good, go ahead 1-0, and then it's over. The whole arrogance, the whole Mies and Mies out the window immediately, and I think that's where it starts to become a huge problem.
Well, I think it's Mia San James. I think it's Mia San Lewandowski. I think it's. I don't think that they go out there thinking, well, we're Bayern, we're going to roll them. I think they're like, well, they have me, so I'll take over this game. And then something goes wrong. Well, so and so screwed it up. And I really do think that there's this crisis of personality on the club, where there's too many players that feel that they are the one that should be built around, which is kind of what makes the Renato Sanchez story so great, is because he's been the next big thing and then gone away, struggled, and then brought back, and now you're seeing he's giving everything he has, and that's the kind of player that we want to see at Bayern. And obviously we want to see players with creative ability and skill and all those things, but that mentality of I'm going to leave it all out on the pitch here, it does seem to be lacking, even from players it didn't really seem like even Sandro Wagner was in the Augsburg that he played, that there was just nothing there. It was a lot of standing around and getting frustrated when the ball wasn't exactly where you needed it. And yeah, that's, I really do feel like it's Mia San me.
I like, you brought up Renato Sanchez, and I'm really glad you did that, because he hasn't been, phenomenal necessarily in his few games, but he has been so much better than, he looked at Swansea or in, under Ancelotti at Bayern. And then,
well, he's on the pitch for a
start.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah. But Saturday when he came on for Alaba, like you mentioned, you could tell that he had that drive that, I'm going to do everything I can to help the team to win the game. It's not, he didn't care if he scored the game winner. He cared about them winning the match. Do we think, it may be a little bit early to be having this discussion, but should he be getting more regular game time under Kovac? And Sebastian, you mentioned earlier Kovac needs to, make that game plan, decide on something and stick with it. Is Sanchez someone that we think that he should say, okay, he's showing what I want out of my players, I'm going to reward him for that?
I mean, it's interesting how really Sanchez and Gnabry and Goretzka are really the success stories Kovac has right now. I mean, for me, all three of them have played better than could have been expected, basically. Yeah, I mean, Gnabry hasn't played so extremely many minutes and all that stuff. But yeah, I think they have really outperformed what I would have expected them to do as early as right now. I mean, that's something you can really take away from Kovac, I think. So yeah, and I think Sanchez probably has been playing the best of those three. So I would love to see more of each of them, but. Yes, probably Sanchez has looked the best of those three, because he has been able to play the same position, coming back to that point. I mean, look at Goretzka. Goretzka played great a lot of the time, but when he played, I think it was right back. Yeah, that doesn't really work so well. I mean, why do that? Why would you do that? I don't understand. I really don't understand. I mean, Gnabry would have been the better choice for a right back, actually, than Goretzka. I really don't get that.
Well, and I think the idea is that, against an Augsburg, you can get away with that, right? I think the idea is maybe you can. I mean, clearly not.
It didn't work out this time, but it's generally probably possible.
I think the idea is that, maybe you can experiment a little bit more in the Bundesliga, where you've won six in a row, it's been pretty much a walk in the park.
What are you trying to do with that experiment? I mean, let's imagine it's going reasonably well. What have you gained by doing that? Do you really want to play Goretzka there a lot of the time? What do you win by this experiment? I really don't understand.
Alaba goes down, and now you have, another, German international that you stick in there, and so...
But do you really...
I think Goretzka is one of those players that just doesn't really have a perfect position, and he's talented.
Yeah.
I think he'll find it. I don't think it's there yet. I think that, and like you said, I think that three in the back is the way to go for sure. But I think that, to the point of going with Sanchez as a kind of staple in the lineup, I think that you definitely do that in the Bundesliga. I definitely think that, you know, he's definitely good enough to sit back there and do his thing in the Bundesliga. Maybe you go with someone you trust a little bit more in Champions League. But yeah, I would definitely play Sanchez frequently.
Okay. Any more thoughts? Go ahead.
I wanted to add something. I guess the Sanchez question definitely depends on who are you going to play at DM. That's an important question for me. Do you see Martinez on that position, or is it going to be Thiago? You should really not change positions with those two all the time. You cannot play Thiago one day and Martinez the other day. I don't think that really works out. They are such different players. I don't think that's a really good idea. It just doesn't work.
The way it's so strange. Under Jupp Heynckes, he comes back, and within three games, Javi Martinez is the best defensive midfielder in the world again. But he hasn't impressed under Kovac. He never looked good under Ancelotti. I mean, he looked okay at center back some games, and then he gave away the ball and gave away cheap goals sometimes. Never looked impressive under Guardiola. For me, he seems like one of those players that he only fits a specific system and under a specific coach. And I think, unfortunately, that specific coach has hopefully finally gone into full retirement.
The Favre of managers.
Yeah, exactly. I think I saw a good argument. I can't remember where it's from the other day that was saying, if you look statistically, all Javi Martinez is really good for is just being a hard-nosed, win the ball back, and then kind of cycle it to someone else. But if you look at their stats, Thiago can win the ball back, make those interceptions, you know, just as good as Javi Martinez can. And, you know, you lose a little bit aerially, but Thiago's honestly not that bad in the air. People really underrate his defensive abilities when he's given, you know, when he's played in a truly defensive role. But he offers so much more when it comes to facilitating possession and, you know, working the ball around the pitch that to answer the question of who do you think should be, you know, that DM that you settle on, for me, I think Thiago's a pretty clear winner.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that, but he just needs to make up his mind which way it's going to go. Then I'm satisfied. I mean, I would be fine either way. I would be fine with Martinez, but then you need another guy who can play it kind of like Martinez does it. Or you go with Thiago and then don't throw Martinez in there and expect him to do the same things Thiago is doing. That's just not going to work out for you. I mean, all right, if you play Thiago, it's great. You have another center back. Get Martinez in there as a center back whenever you like. You can use him with three guys at the back. Perfectly fine. But just make up your mind.
Yeah. Do you have clearly defined roles and who best to fit those roles? I think with Heynckes in charge, Javi knew what his role was, what he was being asked to do, and anything else you got out of him, great. But this is what I want you to do. Just do that. And I think under Guardiola and then a little bit even now, it's like, do you want me to be Thiago? Do you want me to, you know, what do you want me to do here? And again, all back to these growing pains. I think that they will figure it out. I don't think that we're going to be, you know, hitting Christmas and talking to relegation by any means. So I think we'll be fine. But I really do think clearly defined roles is really what needs to be evident, and it's not evident right now. It might be there, but it's just not evident.
All right, well, moving on a bit from Bayern's recent results, let's take a look at the Bundesliga table, where Borussia Dortmund are sitting well on top. Now, let me get the table out real quick. I believe they're on 17 points. Yeah, 17 points, 5 wins, 2 draws, 23 goals, almost double Bayern's 12, and only 8 conceded, which is the same as Bayern Munich. So they're on 17 points, and then RB Leipzig, Gladbach, Werder Bremen, and Hertha Berlin take up the 2 through 5 spots, each on 14 points. And then you have Bayern Munich in 6th with 13. We're going to talk a bit about Borussia Dortmund, who have looked pretty incredible so far this season. Specifically, you know, new signing Paco Alcacer, he's been great. He saved them, you know, big time. 2 days ago, yeah, Saturday morning, morning in the U.S. at least, from a loss. Jadon Sancho, the young Englishman, has also been incredible. He has 6 assists, leading Europe right now, actually. And Alcacer has 6 goals, which is leading the Bundesliga. If we look back at this time last year, your table looked pretty much the same, with Dortmund on top and Bayern behind. And we saw how that ended up. Do we expect Dortmund to do the same this season and kind of implode as the season goes on? Or do you think they're actually the real deal?
I think they're a little bit stronger in the back this year. I think last year they struggled a little bit to keep the ball out of their own net. Once they started, you know, they hit their stride early, and then teams started realizing, hey, they're not so strong back here. And they took advantage. I think that they're a legitimate contender for second if Bayern gets their stuff figured out. But I really think is that Bayern figuring it out is the key. Here's the real key. Does Royce stay healthy? If Royce stays healthy, they're legit. If he doesn't, then they might go back to struggling a little bit.
Interesting note there. Marco Reus just pulled out of the German national team for the next 2 games because of an injury. So maybe that, you know, I haven't read much into it. It could be as a precaution with his Dortmund career more so in mind than his international one. But I just wanted to mention that as an aside.
I mean, I think a really important question here is how good are several of those young players really? How long will they be able to sustain this kind of performance? I mean, Weigl has been under criticism for a long time now, but right now it doesn't really seem to be a problem with him next to Witzel back there. It seems to work out quite fine. Sancho, of course, and Brun Larsen. We haven't even talked about that guy. He came from Stuttgart. Nobody really knew this guy. And now he's playing the starting formation, and not bad at all, I would say. That's a big surprise for me. I mean, you would have expected, I don't know, Mario Götze to play from the start, probably, or Paco Alcacer and Philipp at the same time, maybe. But no, they play Brun Larsen from VfB Stuttgart, who is, I don't know, who is has a worth of, I don't know, 2 million or something like that, if even that. Where's that coming from? I mean, how long does this work? I have no idea. I mean, how good is this player really? I think it's really tough to say at this point. I don't even think that the coaching staff has a proper idea if he can sustain this kind of performance at this point.
Yeah, and you brought up Brun Larsen. Going back to what Garrett was saying about Royce, I think one great thing that, you know, Dortmund have done this season is shifting Royce back to the center. He's kind of playing as an attacking midfielder. More or less a free-roaming role. I think getting him off the wing is going to be huge when it comes to his longevity. He's not, you know, taking those tackles that we saw that got Kingsley Coman injured earlier this season. He's in the center. He doesn't necessarily have to exert himself so much, chasing down all those, you know, long balls, getting in behind, all that. I think that's been, you know, an incredible move by Favre. And then, you know, especially when you have guys like Sancho and Brun Larsen stepping up and playing so well. But Tim, I want to turn to you. What are your thoughts on Dortmund and their current situation?
I want to agree with Garrett and say I think they're going to be a good second. But that's me being quite optimistic at this point. I think they've played quite well. The two people that Brun Larsen's had this renaissance. I had never seen him before, but having looked at him for all of 10 minutes yesterday, I can kind of tell that he's kind of appeared from nowhere again. And so to see him in the starting lineup is exciting. Like it's good that, you know, Dortmund are able to have that core of like young and talented players again. Obviously the two names that are springing to mind at the moment is it'll be Jadon Sancho, and I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, of Paco Alcacer.
Good,
so I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll just call him the number nine. between them, they've started one game. So I don't know if it is a matter of they're very good against tired opponents. Obviously, you don't score six goals in three games and people think, yeah, you're okay. So he's obviously got something, and the fact that Barcelona saw something in him as well, he's clearly got a gift. Whether that gift is transferable to a full 90 minutes of football, that remains to be seen. I think it is complicated. This is another thing where you can look at it, I guess much like Kovac's tenure, you can look at it from like a small scale, but if you look at it on a larger scale, it does tell a different story. So Dortmund, they scored four goals yesterday. Three of them came in the last 10 minutes, I think, or something similar to that. They also conceded three goals.
Right.
I think scoring loads of goals is great, but if you're only scoring like one more than the opponent, that's good, but I don't know how sustainable it is.
I think a lot also depends on Favre here. By the way, do you guys pronounce him like the football player? Do you pronounce him like Favre?
how should we pronounce him?
I also speak a bit of French, so Favre, I guess, but definitely not Favre.
It's weird. Yeah, I think I probably would say Lucien Favre for the Bundesliga coach, but Brett Favre.
I've never
for
actually
the All-Star
said his name out loud before, so I think we're going to keep it that way, just so I don't embarrass myself in as many minutes.
I do Favre as well, but I also jokingly call Brett Favre. Clearly, that's how it's spelled.
Anyway, on the coach,
same spelling. Yeah.
Right.
On the coach, I think a lot does depend on him and how he can, you know, keep these guys going. I think Tim brought up a good point about, you know, we saw Dortmund go down. They went down a goal to Augsburg. Augsburg went back ahead. Dortmund went, you know, back behind, and they eventually came back. And we've seen that multiple times, you know, throughout the season. Looking back at the Leverkusen game, they went down two goals early, came back and won. They went down early to RB Leipzig, and then came back and won, which is all well and good. You know, they're coming back and getting those victories. But are they really, you know, that solid? Can they keep a clean sheet against a team that's not, you know, Nuremberg? I don't know. I guess we'll have to see as the season goes on.
I mean, the other question is, are we asking, are they the best of everybody except Bayern, or are we asking, are they good enough to really challenge Bayern if they perform in any kind of way that we're hoping they're going to do? These are really completely different questions, in my opinion, I think. I would definitely say that they are the best of the rest easily right now. I thought Leverkusen would be very good this season. Not so much, at least now. I mean, maybe they can improve, but I mean, where are they?
Hold on, let me look.
Yeah, 14th. Number 14 right now. That's not looking good. I mean, they would really need to get their stuff together to be in this race, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, Dortmund is a very young team, and they are going to be better. I mean, a lot of players are injured. They have more injuries than we have right now. That's something that few people talk about, and it's easy to forget. As you said, Royce is injured, Kagawa is injured, Rode is injured, Pulisic is injured, Wolf is injured, Toljan is injured, and Topak is injured. So that's a rather long list, and yeah, they're not going to get worse if those players come back, I think. So in my opinion, with Schalke playing the way they play and with Leverkusen playing the way they play, they are probably my number two, yeah.
Okay, so Sebastian says best of the rest. Tim, Garrett, any other Bundesliga teams that really stand out to you guys that you think might could challenge?
I'll have to consult. I mean,
after tonight, we really would have to mention Leipzig, of course. They are number two now, and in an impressive kind of fashion.
I think Hertha looks like they're maybe they could make some noise anyway. I don't know that I would go ahead and crown them best of the rest. Mönchengladbach look pretty decent. I mean, they took advantage of the mistakes that Bayern made, and they've been pretty steadily performing all year. So they're another team that I think should challenge. And really, Schalke could easily turn things around and work their way up. They probably have worked themselves out of real contention, but they could be challenging for a spot in Europe easily, I think, by the end of the year. But Dortmund looks the best, and having gone through that collapse last year, I think it'll be fresh on their minds, and I think they'll probably be, yeah, the best of the rest, at least, if not a legitimate contender to Bayern.
Tim?
I don't want to say that Dortmund are going to keep it up. I don't know. I think they've got a very talented squad, so I still don't think that they're going to be in a position where they have to worry about their star players being bought unexpectedly, like halfway through the season, like they had Aubameyang leave last year. I think the players that they've got, I think, for a while, in my mind. As for other teams, I'd like to see Frankfurt do well, because obviously if you get into, I think, juggling the Bundesliga and the Europa League is going to be a bit of a challenge for them. But I'd like to see them do well. As for whether or not I think another team will do well, probably Berlin. I think they're maybe the of all the teams that we've seen so far, at least they're like the team where I thought, wow, they are really outplaying Bayern at the moment, which is obviously like the standard that I hold most teams to. There were times watching them play Bayern where I thought, this is like watching us play at like a quite a low league team. They were just having fun. I wouldn't tip Berlin to win the league, but I don't expect them to fall off anytime soon. Then again, that might happen, and I'll look like an idiot because I've predicted worse things before.
Well, either way, it looks like there's finally going to be some competition for the Bundesliga this year.
Yeah, and this is what people have been wanting for so long, and now that it's happening, no one is happy about it.
Well, and that's what I was about to ask.
We have been so desperate for that, haven't we?
Is this a good thing for Bayern?
In the long term, yeah, I think so. I think one of the best things that can happen to Bayern at the moment, and I say this in like the most sadistic way imaginable, would be losing the league, to have a new coach come in and him to not have the option of bringing in people in, whether or not that was the case or not. I think Bayern losing the league would be very good for Bayern.
Because, so who's the coach going to be?
No, I think he's referring to Kovac, like coming in and losing.
Yes. I thought. All right, yeah.
No. I think.
Maybe. But I think if we lose the league, I think Kovac is gone, basically. If we're
going to lose the league, he'll probably be gone before that happens.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking, basically. That's not going to happen with Kovac.
I think there's a cutoff point. I think if Bayern can finish second this year, third maybe at a push, then I think he'll stay.
I think it would depend on the other competitions. I mean, maybe if they do all right in the Champions League and win the cup, maybe then, I guess. I mean, coaches have been fired for lesser offenses at Bayern München, I would say.
Yeah, well, I remember writing something last year saying that like Ancelotti was sacked after a 3-0 defeat to PSG, that's really not that bad of a result, all things considered. It was a shocking performance.
I think if they lose their next game with in the fashion that they have lost the last match, I think Kovac might. I mean, it's hard to tell, but it could really be possible that he's gone after the next match. I think that's very possible.
They haven't come out full support of him yet, though. So yeah, he can't fire
or
yet.
Just yeah. I think Hoeneß said something today. I think. Let me see if I. That there was something. I think. Let me see if I can find it. No. Only Hassan. Hassan said something. Ah, no. Don't, here it is. Here it is. He's going to. It's hard to put into English. He said, "Ich werde Niko Kovac verteidigen bis aufs Blut. Bei uns herrscht totale Ruhe." So he basically says everything's quiet, and I will defend him. That's the hill I'm going to die on, basically. So yeah, that was quite strong, I would say,
especially from a figure like Uli Hoeneß.
Yeah, indeed.
I think like sacking him without a full year shows defeat, and I don't think Hoeneß or Rummenigge would want to do that. They'd rather
no real transfer. I think if they would have brought in more people and still had this result. Or these results, I think then we'd be looking at a much more serious crisis. But yeah, I mean, it's basically the same team that they had last year.
Well, but there certainly is a limit to that, guys. I mean, how many games do we imagine they can lose before Kovac gets fired? I mean, there is a limit to that, definitely.
And
I think it's not more than three. It's definitely not more than three.
Okay. I mean, if we lose the next two matches, which are Wolfsburg and AEK Athens, then, you know, if we're losing those games, Kovac is probably gone. But to bring up the sort of obvious question, who do we turn to after that? Who's the replacement?
There's one guy that's still on the payroll. You know who's still on our payroll?
Willy Sagnol?
Yeah, exactly. Why not Willy Sagnol? I think that was what is... It was terrible how they treated him. I did not like that.
Very anti-Mia San Mia.
Yeah. I did not like that. I have always been thinking there should have been some way to have him work together with Jupinkas in some kind of fashion. Just learn from him a little bit and then take over. I think that's the only thing that I would have preferred to Kovac. Not that I'm a huge Kovac fan. I mean, I don't hate the guy. I don't love the guy. I'm not a huge Kovac fan. But who could you have gotten instead of him?
Yeah, no.
I don't see any better. I don't see any better coach you could have gotten, because Löw was out of the question and Klopp was out of the question, and I think I would not have liked Nagelsmann. I would not have liked Tuchel. So yeah. Was basically. Yeah,
what about Zinedine Zidane? He's available, isn't he?
Yeah, but they said they want. I mean, maybe that changes after Kovac is gone. But before they got Kovac, what they were putting out there, what they wanted to have, a coach who speaks German.
Plus, I would add, if you
maybe Arsene Wenger. Wenger maybe, but
yeah. If you look at what Zidane did at Real Madrid, winning the Champions League but not winning the league. I don't necessarily think that would cut it at Bayern. I think, you know, everyone wants the Champions League, but they, you know, Rummenigge, Hoeneß, they repeat over and over, like, the Bundesliga, that's our standard. That's what we want to win every year. And so I'm not sure that a Champions League victory at the sacrifice of a loss in the Bundesliga, I don't think that would really fly at Bayern, especially, you know, for the consistency Zidane had at Real Madrid.
Another name I saw out there that I had forgotten about was Antonio Conte. Is not who I mean. I wouldn't choose any of these. I'd choose Klopp.
If only.
But
I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah.
I think we all would be fine with Klopp.
Conte would play three at the back, so you know.
Yeah, that's something.
Well, either way, it's all pure speculation for now. You know, Kovac is still the manager, and he still has the trust of the board from, you know, what Hoeneß says, and Hoeneß really isn't one to make bold statements like that and then not be true. So maybe, you know, next week, a couple weeks from now, if there aren't any better results, we can have this conversation again in a much more serious manner. But I think for now, Kovac's job is safe. So coming back or heading into the international break, we've got some big games for Germany, a couple other players that we'll see for Bayern, representing Bayern out there. Anyone, any, I guess, matches or any players in particular that you guys will be keeping your eye on? I will say, for me, I'm very interested to see what happens with Joshua Kimmich with Germany, whether he's back in that sixth position or whether he goes back out wide. So that's the one that I'm really, the one player, and you know, I'm really interested in keeping my eye on.
Who are, do you know who Croatia are playing, if they've got any games coming up? Because I figure if Kovac is going to bring in anybody at any point, odds are they're going to be Croatian. And they seem to have a litany of talented players, most of them central midfielders, so I don't know how helpful that actually is. But I think keeping an eye on like the future of Croatia's national team would be quite an interesting perspective, assuming Kovac stays.
Tim, they actually, they face England on the 12th.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So there you go.
How's that going to go?
I mean, England is also going to be interesting, of course. Not really from a Bayern perspective, but yeah, I think it's really going to be interesting to see if they are going in a, yeah, in any kind of good direction or same old again. I mean, is this really a renaissance that they're experiencing right now, or isn't it? Yeah, interesting questions.
Definitely.
From a Bayern perspective, I'm just hoping for no injuries. That's all that I care.
Very good point.
They just want to sit on the bench the whole international break. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I think one of you said earlier, good thing Alaba got injured before international break, so he didn't go on the international break and get injured even worse. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, if Alaba would have played, I mean, if he plays, whenever he plays for Austria, he plays in the midfield. Maybe he would have played brilliantly, and would have been another argument and another thing to argue for three at the back at Bayern München. So
good point.
Yeah.
So when we come back, Bayern have Wolfsburg on the 20th in Bundesliga, and then shortly thereafter Athens in the Champions League. What are we expecting? More of the same? Can Kovac get it fixed?
I mean, you can hardly ask for better opponents to really get back on track, I think. If he doesn't manage to at least win one of those two, I would really be shocked, I guess. I mean, yeah. You need to win at least one of those two games, preferably both, of course.
Yeah.
Wolfsburg has looked a lot better this year, in surprising fashion.
Yeah, they have.
But I would expect us to win that game, and maybe people still be kind of lamenting the play and saying, well, you know, yes, we won, but things aren't as good as maybe seem, and then pick back up a little bit in the Champions League. Obviously, I would be upset if they don't smash Athens.
Yeah, definitely.
And then hopefully by then we're a little bit more optimistic about everything going forward.
Yeah, and if Lewandowski doesn't score 5 goals against Wolfsburg, then he can go. Exactly.
That's the standard now.
5 goals. I'll give him 10 minutes this time.
Yes.
All right, so we've got a lot to look forward to over the coming weeks, but I guess first we have a lot of waiting to do.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes, but this has been the Super Bayern Podcast. If you'd like to reach us, you can follow us on Twitter at Super Bayern Pod. Send us an email at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Anything you guys would like to add, how they can follow you on social media, or anything from you they should be looking forward to?
My Twitter is Garrett R. Kerber, and that's typically where I am. So Garrett with one R and two T's, and then Kerber, Kerber. I write a lot on Liga MX, so you'll see a lot of those tweets in addition to Bayern and a bunch of other stuff, but you can catch me there.
Coming soon, I guess. I mean, you can follow me, of course, at FreyPaisSkagos, but don't expect any football content on there, so that's going to be a thing for the future.
All right, and Tim?
I tweet sometimes about football, sometimes about utter rubbish, at Timothy MR, and exclusively about Bayern at Bavarian Tweets. It's myself, Asim, Sarah, and Aya. It's a great team we've got. We've also got Instagram now, at Bavarian Tweets.
All right, so go give them a follow, and you can catch all of us at least occasionally writing for Bayern Strikes, so follow us on there, but we'll see you guys in a few weeks, hopefully after some more positive results from Bayern Munich, and we'll have a little bit more to talk to you about then.